All right, so check this out. Yes on Prop 22 is about protecting rideshare and food delivery services at risk of going away in California. Yes on 22 saves access to these services by letting drivers keep their flexible work as independent contractors. And 22 provides driver benefits, like healthcare. It's a win-win. Yes on 22.
Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety and community organizations. Committee major funding from Uber Technologies, Lyft, and DoorDash.
Ben Bridge is your personal jeweler, your on-call treasure hunter, and fearless fashion explorer. 20 years ago, we introduced the most beautiful diamond we have ever offered. The Signature Forever Mark Diamond, found exclusively at Ben Bridge, is beautiful, rare, and responsibly sourced. Each diamond is hand-selected and graded beyond the normal four C's. Less than 1% of the world's diamonds qualify to become a Signature Forever Mark Diamond. Click the banner to explore our Signature Forever Mark Diamond collection. Ben Bridge.
Baseball Dads, number 37.
Hey, Dad? You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
Welcome to Baseball Dads. I am Jason Acquisto. We have great news. We're about to start the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Can you believe it? Yes, it is going to be different. Maybe even weird. Bizarre. Definitely a season we'll never forget. But hey, man, we're gonna watch some baseball. They're going to play some games, and I can't wait. Today we have a treat. My guest is Jack Ferrick, and he is the founder of CatchersU.com. You might have seen that, CatchersU.com. He has a podcast and a website full of great coaching instruction for catchers and hitters. Jack is an outstanding coach and instructor, both for catching and for hitting. He is a high school coach in the DMV, that is Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. Did you know that? And he also played his college ball at the Naval Academy. And on top of that, Jack Ferrick is also an associate scout for the Milwaukee Brewers. Busy guy. And he has a lot of expertise, a ton of great insight for young ball players, parents, and certainly coaches. So let's get right to it. This is part one of my conversation with Jack Ferrick from CatchersU.com. on Baseball Dads. First of all, I want to say thanks for getting in touch. And this is exactly the kind of thing I love doing, is talking with guys who are professionals, who have played at a high level, who are passionate about what they do, and passionate about passing that on to a new generation of youth baseball players and parents and coaches. You know, so some of the things I know that you do with Catchers U. I have listened to your podcast. I listened to the one with you and your brother, and that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great, man. I mean, your brother is a pitching coach, right? At Dayton.
Right, at Dayton, yep.
So yeah. That's pretty cool. You guys can talk about it from a catcher-pitcher standpoint.
Yeah, no, it's really cool, too. And the way we think is similar, but not the same. And, it's definitely had some great conversations on philosophies and being able to kind of mix and match and figuring out like how to give each side the information they need to have success, which I always think is, you know, the biggest thing. And I think my biggest thing that I've talked to most people about now is just the value of being able to communicate. And obviously it's easy to talk to your brother about these things, but then being able to get that conversation going between two kids who aren't related or who are at different spots in, you know, baseball IQ or whatever, that's kind of been like, you know, the focus of this dead time is trying. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get a lot more communication out of our catchers in our area. And I don't need them to yell and scream. I just say, hey, shoot a text and ask your pitcher what his three favorite pitches are, what he likes to throw with two strikes, you know, what he thinks his best pitch is. Mm-hmm. And if he tells you that his best pitch is a two-seam fastball run in, and you call 90% of four-seam fastballs outside, then you guys aren't on the same page. But that's something that can be answered on a text message fairly quickly. But like I said, you know, my brother and I always joke, our dad coached for 30-plus years at the high school level and baseball and football, and he was always an assistant coach. But he'd always joke with us and say, hey, look, you ain't going to be on the right page. You just got to be on the same one. You know, he's like, if everybody's on the same page, you've got a good chance to have success. And I just think, you know, for kids especially, allowing them to communicate and come up with ideas, it makes, for you as a coach, it's a lot less guesswork on what your kids know and what they don't know, for sure.
Yeah, that's a great point. You don't have to be on the right page. You just got to be on the same page.
Yeah, be on the same page.
Piece
of
wisdom right there. Every catcher thinks he's Crash Davis trying to teach the pitcher how to do it, right? Trying to teach 100%. The pitcher.
Yeah. 100%.
And I know that's where you come from. So real quick, let me just get a real brief introduction. So it's Jack Ferrick. And tell me your background and what you're all about.
Yeah, no. So I played college ball at the United States Naval Academy. I actually left during my junior year. Knew I wanted to get into coaching. Since that time, since I think 2007, I've been coaching in the Northern Virginia area. I've been a head baseball coach at a high school called Osborne Park for this would have been my eighth season for COVID. So I've been the head coach there for 8 years. I was a head coach at a different high school for 1 year. So I've been a head baseball coach at the high school level for 9 years. I have been running Catcher's U since 2015. I've been heavily involved in showcase ball since 2010. Kind of got into coaching and really wanted to become a good communicator of the sport and learn, got to be around multiple former, you know, major leaguers, currently, you know, guys like Mike Colangelo, Sean Camp, and a couple other guys like Jeff Baker, Justin Bour, Matt Miller. You know, so I've been very fortunate to be in a network of guys who are not selfish with knowledge and, you know, have been able to work with a bunch of kids. I've been doing it now long enough that I've been fortunate to have a bunch of kids go on to play Division I. I've had a couple draft picks of guys I've worked with that, you know, obviously are just, you know, makes it fun and really gets you excited and obviously motivates you. But I'm one of those people, I get just as excited for a kid when he makes his high school team after getting cut than I am when a guy signs a contract. So it just kind of fell into the right spot.
So what's your passion? You're a catcher. You came up as a catcher. You had a high degree of
Right.
success. You played Division I baseball as a catcher. Is that the only thing that you're about? I mean, you got catcher's U. So does that focus
Correct.
Only on being a catcher or also hitting at all?
So I'm obviously, you know, in the baseball industry, you know, I started off as a hitting instructor as well as a catching instructor. But kind of just saw that there wasn't a ton of catching only type things. And, you know, we had kids where I was getting to work with them, you know, one-on-one, and, you know, I'd do some blocking or I'd do some receiving, I'd do some throwing, and it always seemed like it was rushed. And, you know, I also know that, like, I'd watch kids go to camps and the only defensive work they get behind the plate was catching bullpens, which is, you know, very, very important, but they weren't getting that one-on-one time where, you know, I see infielders, you know, they would get, you know, their glove work done, or outfielders who were working on their drop steps or the routes, or pitchers working on their routines and things of that nature. So I kind of started getting a good number of kids. So I wanted to start putting them together. And what I've learned about kids is when you put them in a room together and you start putting them in drills and you start kind of forcing them to figure stuff out either by themselves or together, you kind of get blown away with what ends up happening. So it started off as, you know, 4 or 5 kids. And then, you know, now through the course of the year, you know, we'll train close to 100 different catchers, you know, from 8U to 18, and then we have a couple guys that you know, come back and get some work in that are collegiate level, and a couple guys have signed some, you know, pro contracts. So
yeah, how does that feel?
It's really cool, and I think the number one thing whenever I talk to somebody for the first time, it's just nice to have a conversation about where somebody feels like, okay, they're listening to me, and they're kind of breaking down problems that other coaches maybe don't have the, you know, the expertise or just don't have the background to answer, which is, you know, statistically speaking, that's what's going to end up happening. You know, a team has, you know, 7-8 pitchers. They've got six, seven out, infielders. They've got 5 outfielders. You might have 2 catchers. So, you know, the likelihood of you having somebody that has a catching background on your team or on your coaching staff is not as high as other positions. So it's been fun. And I will say that the coolest part about what's going on right now is there's so many people that are coaching, catching at an elite level that are willing to give information and hop on Zoom calls and everything. So you're as a guy that didn't play professionally, I'm able to kind of see what guys are doing and going, oh, okay, yeah, that's we're on the right page. You know, we're doing similar things, or, you know, reach out. And, you know, there's been times where I've been able to reach out to certain people, other academies, and, you know, and said, hey, you know, I'm doing this drill and this is why I think I'm doing it. And, you know, I feel like I'm getting good results, but certain kids aren't doing this, and guys will, you know, hey, we'll try this, or, you know, do this. I've done this. And it's kind of a cool little, you know, it's a smaller group, obviously, because there's not as many catching academies out there, but, you know, it has become something where you're like, you can reach out. And, you know, another thing that my dad always said, you know, when you're done learning, you're done coaching. So you always want to try to get out there. I really believe in being creative and expanding your knowledge. You know, I feel like a really good coach knows how to say the same thing, you know, 50 different ways. And if you can only say it 50 ways and that kid doesn't understand those 50 ways, better figure out a way to say it a 51st way.
Oh,
because,
good.
You know, at the end of the day, that's what coaches are. That's what we try to do. It's not about what we know as much as what we can teach and what our players can come away with, you know. And I've had kids do it, and I know other coaches have done it where they've told them something, they know what they want them to do, and what is being said and what the kid is doing are not the same thing. And that's not necessarily a fault on the coach or the player, but if I can't get that kid to understand what I want, then I've got to really work hard to do that. And that's where I love my catching academy, because sometimes you'll have a kid next to him and go, well, dude, just do it this way. And you're like, that works. And it's just a different phrase. And, you know, any good coach is a thief when it comes to knowledge. So try to steal as much as you can.
Yeah, but it wasn't the knowledge. It was the way that other kid communicated. He found a different way to say it. And that time it got through, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really makes having kids around, like players. I think sometimes people go, all right, players don't have as much baseball IQ as they used to have. I think they do have it. I think the difference is coaches are way more knowledgeable. Coaches have way more information. And I think coaches make a lot more decisions for their players. So I always joke with a lot of times, it's like, try not to make, and when I talk to my buddies who coach youth baseball, I go, try not to make your team a team of ears, try to make them a team of eyes, and try to teach them to use their eyes rather than listen for what's going to happen. And that's what, you know, allowing kids to fail is okay. Now, that doesn't mean you let kids fail due to lack of effort or lack of preparation, but I say it all the time, you know, sometimes you gain so much more when a kid has the courage to make a decision and he fails, because then two things are only happening. One, okay, if it's a kid that's very confident and maybe not as coachable, that failure humbles them to the point where they reach out for a little bit of help and guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it gets them over that fear of checking in for, you know, security. You know, we want confident ball players. Confident ball players usually play the same in a big game as they do in a smaller game. So for me, it's trying to create an environment where failure, we know failure is going to happen, but if you fail because you make a mistake, but you were prepared and you gave it a good effort, then that's getting beat, and that's not losing. So if somebody beats you, hey, you tip your cap and you play the next day. You try to, as best as you can, to not lose, and try as hard as you can to give those kids that confidence to make decisions on their own.
It's like all of these great phrases I keep writing down that you've been rolling out. These are like the coach's pearls of wisdom here. Confident player plays the same in a big game as in a small, unimportant game. That's great stuff. And then getting beat is not the same. How many times as parents do we look at our kids and say, you know, I don't feel bad. We should be saying, tip your cap. That guy beat you, and that's good on him. It's not bad on you.
Correct.
Yeah.
No, and I think it's hard because nobody wants, and that's the hardest thing to admit. Like, I think I got beat. You know, somebody was better than me in that moment. And the kids that understand that and the families that understand that, I think are the ones that, A, they have way more enjoyable car rides home. But I think they're the ones that are able to take information from, you know, the first at-bat to the second at-bat. Or as a catcher, guy hits a double. Well, why did he hit a double? All right, we missed our spot. We went here. We did this. What if we try it this time? You know what? Guy hits another double. All right, you know what? Next time we're just going to walk him because we're going to give away more doubles. You know, and I think just because you prepare, just because you work hard, doesn't always translate into success because it's a competitive game and you're playing against somebody else. Mm-hmm. Now, when you work hard, when you prepare, you give yourself a better chance of having success because you're going to be ready to go. So that, to me, like when I coach, and I've been fortunate to coach high school, I've been fortunate to coach middle school kids, I've coached 9U, I've coached all different ages. And I think the one thing that does not change is as a coach, you do not know how much your player knows unless you ask. And I think having dialogues with your players at 9U is just as important as having dialogues with players at 18U, because a lot of times we get wrapped up thinking that they already know this. Well, they may not know this. And I ask questions all the time, and I really try hard. Like, I know at my high school, we let the catchers call pitches at the varsity level. And at the JV level, they also call pitches, but they have to give the coach their idea of what they're going to do. And our coach either gives them a thumbs up or gives them a thumbs down. At the varsity level, I give it to them. Now, I prep them and I quiz them before the game. How are we doing this? How are we doing that? How are we attacking? And if they kind of mailed it in and they weren't mentally prepped, then I punish them by calling the game because I'll go, no, well, if you don't respect your team enough to do all your work and prep and talk to your pitchers and see what they want to do, then you know what? Hey, I'm the coach. I'll take care of the team. And then you'll learn to take care of the team next time. Mm. And it's funny. I did that. We had two scrimmages last year. Obviously, we didn't get to play. We only played one scrimmage this year, but last year, and it was funny because they lost their privilege in the second scrimmage because they weren't prepped, and they never lost their privilege ever again because they cared, you know, and they understood that, okay, this is something that I'm being trusted with. So I think, to me, I think that's super important, having trust. And also just, I think as a coach, though, I think you have to understand where you're at. You know, is winning how your team validates success? So are you on a team that you need to win for everyone to figure what you're doing is worth it? Or are you willing to allow a teachable moment maybe cost you a game here or there? Now, that doesn't mean, you know, not playing to win. That means, are you okay with your pitcher being allowed to shake off a pitch and throw what he's comfortable with? Or are you okay with letting a kid swing away in a situation instead of maybe bunting? Mm-hmm. You know, those are the kind of things where, okay, you know, you let a kid get thrown out going to third base because he doesn't know how to steal third base yet. But he has to learn maybe through failure. So
yeah.
Those are those little moments that, okay, is this where, you know, is this worth it? And I think the really good young coaches in the youth ball, what I've seen, they're really good at communicating. They're talking to their players. They're playing chess when their players are playing checkers, you know, like, you know, they're not worried so much about, you know, okay, I'm not going to yell at you right now, but I'm going to hold you accountable for it later. And as they get older, I think once you get to like the high school level, then you can really just kind of, you know, sit back and kind of watch and just be there as a safety net and guide players. But you know, my biggest thing to youth coaches and parents is don't tie so much into results. You know, chase your process to success more than, you know, what the results are. And, you know, no one's going to remember your stat line from 8U to 14U. No one's going to really, you know, remember those things.
They're not?
If you are, yeah,
are you sure? 8U?
What's crazy now, though, is the ability to pull up game changer and have, you know, ready stats.
I know.
Yeah, no, and I think it's the importance of, are you always progressing? Are you always getting better? You know, I'll take the kid that wasn't very good at 8U, but was a better player at 9U, a better player at 10U, a better player at 11U, a better player at 12U, a better player at 13U, and continues to progress over the kid that was a stud at 8, 9 years old and kind of stays the same because the kid that is always progressing has learned how to work hard or has learned just to get better. And those are the people that continue to play because when adversity hits, they have a background or they have a routine or they have a baseline that allows them to continue to get better. Mm-hmm. It's just like study habits. You know, you see so many kids academically, they cruise and then whatever grade it is, maybe it's seventh grade, maybe it's, you know, 11th grade, maybe it's their freshman year, they get punched in the face when it comes to their academics. And they don't know how to do it. Or there's kids that they coast all the way through to college and then, you know, they take a major and they don't have the study habit. So when I'm watching players, I always gravitate towards the kids that are always progressing. And it doesn't mean, you know, I only coach kids that are like Rudy, but, you know, that the mentality of getting better, wanting to get better and learning how to get better. And I think a lot of parents would enjoy watching their players play if they had that concept a little bit more in mind than did his team beat this team? Did he get a big hit? Did he do this? Which is tough because, you know, you drive out and these tournaments are, you know, they're not cheap and, you know, you play 8 a.m. and, you know, and you want to go and you want to watch your child have success. Try to watch and I was fortunate and I say it was very fortunate now. I didn't maybe think so at the time. When I was 22, I got a head coaching job at a high school that historically has not been very good. I think they've won like 4 games and since the school's been open. And my first year, 22 years old, I've always been a part of winning programs and we win the games where, you know, we didn't have the talent to beat the other team. It was the best thing that ever could happen to me as a coach. I went 0-18, and I grew so much as a coach because I learned how to see smaller victories and winning, and kind of got it more individually based. And so when I got to the school that I went to, I kind of had that same mentality of, if I get every player better and they play at their best level, we're going to have a chance to have a lot of success. So, mm-hmm. And we did, we've had a ton of success in my new high school. We've won a lot more than we've lost, and we've sent a ton of kids to college. And a lot of my guys, when they go to college, they're able to play for 4 years. And, the standard that we try to set is, how do you continue to get better? Because once you stop getting better, that's when you can get caught, or that's when you can't catch somebody in front of you. So allowing yourself to always push yourself to get better. And it's not always the Rocky montage where you're sweating bullets and sometimes it's, I'm going to go to bed at 9:00. Why? Because I'm a better player when I get a full night of rest, or I'm going to do my homework tonight instead of Sunday night. Why? Because I don't want to be up late, stressed out, and not have a good practice or not be ready for the game. So those are the things. And like I said, you said earlier, the purity of the game, and everyone's just getting back out there and they want to watch their kids play. And I think this is just such a cool moment, because most of us got put on pause. For 3 months, we got put on pause. And it wasn't about, trying to win, 30 games. It wasn't about trying to, up your personal player ranking, at the showcase level. It's not even now going and being seen by colleges. It's, okay, going out and getting a live AB and going out and getting to play in games. The purity of the sport has kind of gotten a reset with a lot of people. That's a really cool opportunity to take advantage of.
Yes, exactly. And Jack Therrick, I feel like this is a great spot for us to kind of take a quick break. We've talked for a while. Great coaching insight and wisdom. And let's save some for next time. We have a lot more to cover. And this is really great stuff. Any parent, any coach would benefit from any of the things that you're talking about here. So once again, catchersu.com. It's Jack Therrick. And we're going to talk more next time. It'll be part two of our conversation with Jack. Next time, we'll see you there on Baseball Dads.
Come on, let the kids play!
Baseball Dads is produced and engineered at Crow Hop Studios in Fishers, Indiana.
Let them play! 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 Let them play!
Support for this episode has been provided by Ratio Keto-Friendly Dairy Snacks. If counting macros makes your head spin, count instead on a snack by Ratio. They've done the math for you, so you can spend less time studying the label and more time enjoying your day. Creamy and delicious, try strawberry and vanilla for 2 grams of carbs and a unique combination of sugar and protein. Interested? Ratio Keto-Friendly Dairy Snacks are now available in the yogurt aisle at Walmart. Always consult your physician before starting an eating plan that involves regular consumption of high-fat foods.
This is the sound of regular water droplets. This is the sound of vitamin water droplets. Regular water, vitamin water. Regular water, vitamin water.
Hey, come on now.
Vitamin water. It has vitamins, but also parties. Copyright 2020, Glasso.
Howie Politics and State Affairs Pro offer insider election coverage, polling, and analysis in Indiana. Our nonpartisan news and legislative tools create a winning combination pro subscribers can't live without. For all the resources you need this election season and beyond, visit pro.stateaffairs.com/IN. That's pro.stateaffairs.com/IN.